Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries. This teaching we're going to do is going to be on a subject about demons and how they work and how they get access to us. I trust you will enjoy this. At the end of the teaching, we'll have a website and a phone number where you can get these teachings free, but we're going to go into the teaching, and you hope you enjoy this very much in Jesus' name.
What does God do? According to your faith, be it done unto you. Most people, when their kids get on drugs and alcohol, what do? They cry and they wring their hands. Like when I told my son about that young boy being delivered, when I prayed over that shirt and I put a little drop of anointing all on that shirt, my son, which he's 25 now, just been a couple, two or three years ago, "Dad, where did you get that? How come you to do something like that?" He said, "I've heard of other people do that." He was all upset at Daddy. I said, "Son, go get your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 19 and see what the Lord said to do there in verse 9, 10, and 11. So he went and got his Bible. He won't know what precedent I used to make that work. He had saw people that had done these things, but he just didn't believe God's Word. See, he's still a young man. So when he turned to Acts chapter 10, then it says there, Acts chapter 19. Well, David, help me with that scripture. Where is that? I thought that was Acts 19. 19, 12. 19, 11, 12. Oh, yeah, there it is. I was one verse off. I said 19, 11. It's 12. So now then, verse 11 says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Isn't that amazing? That you can even take a piece of cloth or a piece of paper. It's according to your faith. And you lay hands on that, and when you pray over that, when you give it to somebody, if you can find a precedent in the Word of God for that, guess what you can do? If you can find it in this book, guess what it'll still do today? It'll still work today. So why don't we believe God's Word? Why is it that so many pastors spend so much time counseling their people when they come in and they're either sick or afflicted or tormented, or they're under depression, or they're under attack from the devil, and all these bad things that comes from the devil, when they'll waste hours of their time counseling you, when what they need to do is just tell you that Jesus healed you on the cross, let's kick this devil out of you, and let's just start walking in the abundance of what God has provided for us. Let me look at you right now and tell that devil he's going to have to leave you, because that didn't come from God. Now let me tell you, woman, or let me tell you, man, are you free from sin? Are you living in sin? "Well, yeah, I'm living with this girl down the street, but you know, I sure do like living." Well, let me tell you, I can't get you set free. God ain't going to deliver you from your friends. Now straighten your act up, repent, move out, change your cotton-picking ways, and be humble, and come before God and ask Him to forgive you, and make sure you'll tell Him, "I move out today, Lord, and I don't want to do that no more. Now then, I'm going to cast that demon of hell out of you. You're going to be healed in the name of Jesus." You know why people can't get set free? They want to continue to live in sin. And so many men of God and women of God are afraid to say, "Well, I don't want to offend my members. They might leave." Let me tell you, you got to tell them what Jesus told them. Jesus ain't going to deliver you from your friends. Now, if you're living in adultery with a man or a woman down the street, don't come to the pastor and ask him to get you set free. You're going to be tormented, because this Bible says not to do that. Now then, people in the church are tormented by spirits all over, and the needs are not met of the church. The pastor's wages can't be paid, because so many pastors are afraid to stand up here today and say, "Hey, folks, the Lord told you to tithe, or you're going to be under a curse." Now, if you'll tithe and give God the first tenth of your increase into this church, He will bless you. This is His church. It ain't mine. It's His church. But if you'll be obedient and do that, he'll bless you. If he won't, he's going to curse you. And I guarantee you're going to live in torment and problems. And you're never going to get your needs met. And the devil's going to get more than your 10%. You're going to give it to the doctor, to the mechanic, to the thief, and everything else. But if you'll come and do what God says, then God's going to set you free. And he's going to start blessing you. But you better get down here every Sunday morning and give this church at least 10% of your increase. And when men of God start telling their people that, guess what the people in the church are going to do? Some of them's going to believe God. And when they do, the finances of that church is going to increase, and guess what's going to begin to happen to the blessings in that church? That church is going to be blessed, and God's going to send his angels there to protect that place and watch over it. He's going to bless that man of God that's standing on that pulpit because that man is obedient to teach what God's Word says. Without any kind of conditions. Just say, God said it, folks. It ain't my word. It's his. You're going to have to do what he says if you want to be blessed. And if you do that, he'll bless you. If you don't do it, he won't bless you. Just like whenever I went over to their home the other day, I spent, 4 hours teaching this couple the word of God. Her husband, Paul, was petrified. I came over there for a deliverance. I could tell he was petrified. And the demons in him were petrified. Because whenever I walked, he thought I was going to walk up and grab him by the neck and say, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. And we were going to see all kinds of strange, wild things happen. But I didn't. I came in, took the word of God, sat down to the table. And for 4 hours, we went there and I told him what give the devil legal right, what they had to do, and everything. And after we got all this done, he repented. We prayed over the family. We commanded the demons to leave that place. We spoke a blessing over the children. We spoke a blessing over the family. We spoke blessings of God over everybody. And you heard this lovely woman tell yourself the things that's happened in the last 2 weeks in their home since we did that. Did we see any manifestations of any demons? No, because I commanded them before I walked in the house, Satan, you will not manifest in this place today. In the name of Jesus, I will not allow you to manifest at all. I don't want any disruptions. I'll not allow you to manifest in Jesus' name. Now, Jesus told me the devil had to be subject to me if I speak it in his name. If Satan has to be subject to in the name of Jesus, according to Luke 10:20, then why don't we speak directly to the devil and command him to get out of our life, Wayne? Why should we put up with that beast, right? We're sons of God. So when you're obedient and you do what the Lord says, he sends his angels to watch over you. He protects you. He gives you power and authority, and your power and authority works. That's the way it works. Now then, on all these great things, what we will do, I want us to take about a 15-minute break. We'll stop right here, the teaching on how to make these things really work for you. And that's what we're going to do when we come back. We'll take a break and y'all can go do whatever you want to do and have a drink of water or whatever. I want you to see this lovely lady back here asked me a question a while ago, and I told her, I said, when we come back in this last hour, this is what I'm going to teach you how to do. There's so many things that we can do. Now then, I've got a whole bunch of tapes and everything else out there in the car. I should have went and got those things so you could have had those tapes. I will go get those in just a minute. But I've got both videotapes of all of the healing schools. I've got some of every one, and I've got audio tapes of all the audio tapes I've made, different ones, and some of you have some of those. But I've got tapes on healing and on the cross and just all kinds of subjects. And you're welcome to those whenever I do go get those in a few minutes. But Jesus says not only did he heal you on the cross, or sealed it with his blood on the cross, or that now you can take your big brother Jesus under the arm and walk right into the Father in the Holy of Holies anytime you want to go in there. And you can get anything you want from the Lord by faith, but you can't get it no other way. You can't go in there crying. You can't go in there begging. You can't go in there pleading, but you can go in with the Word of God because he's a faith God and he only honors one thing besides your worship and praise, and that's faith in his word. So when you grab your big brother Jesus under the arm and you walk in spitting out God's word to your father, speaking it, You can get anything you want from the Lord if you're an obedient daughter or son. Now, I'm going to show you something that we have lost almost entirely, completely in the church. And I'm going to show you that these men that walked with Jesus in the first century, these men had what I call sense, knowledge, faith. The reason I call it sense, knowledge, faith is because they walked with Him. They talked with Him. They handled Him. They ate with Him. They saw Him crucified. They saw Him resurrected. And they saw all the miracles He done. And before He left, He told them, "Now then, if you believe, not only shall you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in My name." Now, that's where we've missed it. You don't know how many people that I have knelt to pray with in the church that say, "Oh, God, would you do this or do that?" Or, "Oh, Mary, will you do this or will you do that?" Or, "Jesus, will you do this or will you do that?" And when you pray those kind of prayers, none of those prayers will be answered. You ask God to do something for you and thank Him for it, it won't happen. You ask Jesus to do something for you and thank Him for it, and it won't happen. And the Catholic Church, they asked Mary to do something for them and thank her for it, and it won't happen. There's only one way you can come to the Father. Name, what did Peter and John do to this cripple? Did they beg and plead for his healing? What did they do? What did they do? Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And then he reached down and grabbed that man and grabbed him and jerked him up. Do you think Peter really expected that man to walk? If he hadn't have, what would have happened? He wouldn't have never walked. Because did that man have any faith? Did that man even know what they was doing? Didn't have a clue. What was it that they done it, and how did they do that great and awesome miracle?
Stop right there on the teaching today, but we will take up tomorrow right there at the same place. I hope you've enjoyed this teaching. If you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would contact us at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And ask for the teachings on the question and the answer. And if you want to go to our website, you can go to www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all the free teachings that you want. We have them there. Just remember, Jesus Christ is our King and our Lord, and He's a mighty God, and we love serving Him. If we can do anything to help you, just contact us. We'll be happy to pray for you or try anything to meet your needs.